You are locked into Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday. My name is Asher Lowe. I am the site editor at BadgersWire.com for USA Today Sports, a play-by-play broadcaster for Badger Sports. But most importantly, of course, I'm your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the inside student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Badger sports. Make sure you listen and follow for free on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Drop a review on Apple if you haven't already. That is much appreciated. And follow us on Twitter, myself at ALOW_33, and the podcast at Locked On Badgers. If you haven't listened to the breakdown of the Battle for the Axe game, Wisconsin basketball's win over Louisville, Jack Cohn transferring, all that stuff is in Monday night's episode. Today, we're talking Nebraska and Wisconsin, the first Big Ten game of the season for Wisconsin basketball. And here to preview Nebraska with me is Jacob Padilla, who works for HailVarsity.com. He's a Nebraska basketball beat writer, knows his stuff, knows this team inside and out. All the information about Nebraska basketball you should know before tonight, you're going to get that. And then we are going to Ben Stevens from Locked On Big Ten, a repeat guest of this show, just an awesome friend of mine and a great podcast host himself with the Locked On Podcast Network. He will take us around the Big Ten, both during Champions Week, what we just saw, and as we get ready for bowl season, some things you should be watching in the Big Ten, talking Big Ten championship game, Ohio State's win over Northwestern, all that stuff coming up after we get to Jacob Padilla. Let's talk Wisconsin and Nebraska right now. Joining me in the Locked On Badgers podcast to preview Wisconsin and Nebraska, the opener in the Big Ten Conference for the Wisconsin Badgers, is Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity, a beat writer for Nebraska. And I thought you were a beat writer for Creighton too, Jacob, but apparently just a Creighton fan and alum, but a Nebraska beat writer for Hail Varsity. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I like basketball. I like to keep myself busy, so try to follow a few different teams around here.
Absolutely. So let's get right into Nebraska. 4-3 start to the year for Fred Hoiberg in year two. And to me, the thing when I was looking at Nebraska to prep for this podcast and to prep for the stuff we're doing at Badgers Wire, to prep for this game, it's amazing the turnover. And it's not surprising, I don't think, given Fred Hoiberg and taking over a program that needed a complete turnover in a lot of ways. But the year-to-year turnover from last year to this year, I'm talking about just the players, right? The transfer portal, everything Nebraska is doing, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, and that's not surprising just based on Hoiberg and Matt Abdelmassi, who is basically his recruiting coordinator, their history at Iowa State and the way they kind of turned over teams there. And also considering Nebraska won 7 games last year, it was going to be tough to bring that team back as it was. So a lot of change, but they're also 3 guys that are in the rotation now were on the team last year, just had to redshirt as transfers. So those guys were in the program, even if they weren't playing last year. So they're new faces in terms of being on the court, but they did bring back about 5-6 guys. One guy's out for the season, but handful of guys back from last year, and then added a few other transfer additions and couple freshmen. And so it's definitely a different looking team. It's definitely a better team, a more talented team, physically a more impressive team. But they are still trying to kind of figure out how everything fits together and how everybody plays together early on.
4-3 start and a bunch of different types of opponents early, right? You have that top 10 team in Creighton playing them. You have some easier gimme games and then some tough games that I feel like will get Nebraska ready for the Big Ten. Up and down this conference, it's going to be a wild ride, as we've already seen, right, in the first few days. That Northwestern win against Michigan State was pretty wild. The Rutgers win was awesome at the rack, even with no fans. But it's going to be a wild conference. Nebraska was expected to be at the bottom of it, at least by me, and I think by most of national media, most of the people covering other teams, not Nebraska teams, definitely expected the Huskers to be at the bottom. With this 4-3 start, with the way they've looked through 7 games, has that changed in your mind at all? Has anything surprised you, or is it kind of what we thought going in?
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to have them there and to kind of keep them there at this point. Again, the fact that with Northwestern came out of nowhere, that was a team that I wasn't particularly high on, just based on what they showed last year and what they've shown recently overall. And they didn't get off to a great start, losing to Pitt in the non-conference and then beating 3 bad teams. And then right out the gate to just dominate a Michigan State team that was playing really good basketball. So going to be a tough year in the league, but I think Nebraska has the upside to kind of climb out of the cellar. I think there's some other teams that like I don't think Maryland is particularly impressive so far early on. a few other teams that are kind of struggling a little bit, or maybe not quite as talented as the rest of the league, but kind of heading in here where things started, just based on the way they had been playing recently, it's safe to put them at the bottom. But I definitely see some upside to this team compared to last year. It just wasn't there. I think that this team does have the capability to get better. The question is how much better and how quickly does that happen? Because it obviously won't be any nights off in the Big Ten.
So as I mentioned, Wisconsin fans, if you watched the Nebraska games from last year, Wisconsin did go 2-0 against the Huskers, but you're not going to remember basically any single name you're going to see on this roster, or at least that's going to play. Thorther Bjornason, I think, is the only one that I remember from last year. I did both those games for student radio and that I remember prepping for.
And then Ivan Udraogo is the other one that kind of started last year as a 17-year-old coming over from France. And he struggled, and this year they've been bringing him off the bench, although he did play well in his last time out. So hopefully that, for Nebraska's sake, that can give him a little bit of confidence. But, those are the only two guys back from last year. I mentioned the guys that were redshirting, and Delino Banton is one of them, and he's kind of been the key to what Nebraska's been doing. Teddy Allen's the leading scorer and kind of the bucket getter on the team, but Delino Banton is a guy that you're really going to kind of want to keep your eye out for and watch the way he plays, because he's a really intriguing player. 6'9 point guard. He does run the point. He also does the jump ball at the start of the game.
Really?
And then you'll see him defending like power forwards on defense.
So, I wonder how many teams in the country have their point guard doing the jump ball. And I think I would go with one, and it's probably only Nebraska.
Yeah. And I kind of, obviously you can kind of set up statistical searches however you want, but there really aren't any players in the country that kind of replicate what he's doing statistically for Nebraska right now. I think Michigan State's Aaron Henry was the next closest match in terms of a guy who scores, rebounds, assists, and blocks shots as well, because he'll be a little bit disrupted defensively, kind of as a help defender as well. So, he's a guy that you're going to kind of want to watch for Nebraska. And if he's playing well, I think they'll have a chance to play well on offense for sure.
So keep an eye on Delano Banton, but also keep an eye on Teddy Allen for sure. You mentioned his name as the leading scorer of this team, and a guy that's kind of also taken a crazy route of his own. West Virginia is where he started his career with Bob Huggins, went the junior college route after that, averaged over 31 last year in junior college a game, leading scorer in the country last year at that level, and one of the best players coming out of the junior college ranks. And he's picked up right where he left off there at Nebraska.
Yeah, and so I've actually covered high school basketball for several years as well. And Teddy spent his junior and senior years here in Nebraska at Boys Town. So I've gotten a chance to watch Teddy play basketball for a handful of years now. And I'm not really surprised by kind of what he's doing now. We called him Teddy Buckets back then, and that nickname has kind of stuck because he's not a knockdown shooter. He's not the most explosive guy. He's not going to wow you with his ball handling prowess. He just finds a way to get to the basket. He finds a way to finish tough angles. He'll finish through contact, finish over the top of guys. He is a streaky shooter where he can catch fire and knock down some shots from the perimeter or late in the clock or whatever. So he's just a really unique player in as far as kind of the way he goes about things. There are times where he will get a little shot happy, and when things aren't falling, he might force things a little bit. But he's also had some stretches this year where he's just kind of put Nebraska's offense on his back and really kind of gone off. So if it's a good Teddy game, Nebraska's going to have a chance to compete with a lot of teams this season.
He's a tough matchup, 6'6", a guy that can, you know, like you said, it doesn't wow me with one skill, right? Like he's not going to stand on the wing and just knock down 6 threes a game. He's not going to jump over the top of people, but he's a three-level scorer. Like he can do it anywhere on the floor, and yeah, fantastic finisher at the rim. So I'm excited to watch him and see how he develops this year in the Big Ten Conference. What's the feeling about Fred Hoiberg right now, right? We're in year two. I don't think that there should have been, at least if you're a realistic Nebraska fan, there shouldn't have been crazy expectations in year two of the Fred Hoiberg tenure based on what he's inheriting. What's kind of the feeling right now?
I think fans are kind of patient at this point. They're still kind of excited about kind of the sticker value of hiring a guy like Fred Hoiberg to run Nebraska basketball, obviously one of the teams with the least amount of successful history anyway in high major college basketball. And this is a guy that's done it in the NBA, he's done it at a high level in college. And now, first year, I think, obviously, it was tough to watch. And there are some people that maybe aren't enamored with kind of the roster turnover and hope don't want to see that kind of the transfer strategy and kind of all that continue. But I think with some of the things they've shown, guys like Banton and with the recruiting success they've had as far as looking ahead to next year, they got the school's first five-star commit ever out of high school in Bryce McGowans, who can absolutely light it up and is going to be phenomenal in Hoiberg's system offensively. So you got a guy like him, you got another kind of four-star skilled big man and Wilhelm Breidenbach coming in. And then one of the best shooters in junior college basketball in Keisha Tominaga. So I think kind of the combination of the Fred Hoiberg style of play, if they can kind of get things going, plus the recruiting success moving forward, I think fans are kind of excited about the future. And for the moment, they're just kind of waiting and seeing what this particular team is going
to
look like.
We'll get right back to talking to Jacob Padilla about Nebraska basketball as they get ready for Wisconsin tonight at 6 p.m. Central on FS1. But first, a quick message from Coors Light, the beer that you should have in your hand when Wisconsin and Nebraska tip off tonight at 6. The best part about Coors Light is that you can get it delivered right to your house. It's a beer that's as refreshing and cold as the Rockies. You've heard that one before. You've seen the can. It turns the mountains blue with that cold, refreshing Colorado Rockies taste. Brewed in Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado. It is truly a beer that is as cold as the Rockies. And you can get it at get.coorslight.com. Get.coorslight.com. Have it delivered right to your house. Celebrate responsibly as Wisconsin looks to dominate and roll over a Big Ten bottom feeder in Nebraska tonight. Today's episode also brought to you by betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the one spot that you want to go to get any and all action on tonight's Wisconsin-Nebraska game. Currently, the Badgers right now is minus 17.5 favorites over the Cornhuskers, a top of the Big Ten team versus a bottom of the Big Ten team. A huge spread in this one. And if you want to bet on it, there's only one place to go that you should go to, and that is betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag is offering Locked On listeners a promo code. If you use the code Locked On, LOCKEDON, all caps, no spaces, you get a 50% welcome bonus on that initial deposit to bet on anything, but obviously also to bet on Wisconsin minus 17.5 or take Nebraska plus 17.5 tonight as Wisconsin and Nebraska go at it. BetOnline.ag, use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. A ton of action to be had this week with the NBA starting, NFL this weekend. It is an awesome time to get on BetOnline.ag. To hang as a big underdog tomorrow at the Kohl Center, and this will be out actually on Tuesday, so you're probably listening to this on game day. We're recording it on Monday. But to hang as an underdog at the Kohl Center for Nebraska, what are some checklist things you think have to be done for Nebraska to hang in this?
Yeah, the first thing is they're going to have to take care of the ball, and they're going to have to get shots up every time down, because Wisconsin is too efficient offensively to be wasting possessions. And that's kind of where Nebraska got into a little bit of a rut with the loss to Georgia Tech. And then against Creighton, they were great at sharing the ball, taking care of it their first three games. Even that Nevada loss, they just couldn't throw it in the ocean. They got a lot of good looks. They shared the ball well. The ball just didn't go in. But after that, they started kind of turning the ball over 15, then 16, then 25 times against Creighton. And because guys were just not really kind of trusting the system and trying to do too much on their own. And it was just leading to kind of some offensive dysfunction. So they're going to have to trust the offense. They're going to have to trust each other. They're going to have to work hard on and off the ball to create good looks on offense. Because, like I said, they're going to have to get shots every time down, because you know Wisconsin is going to put some points up. So that's the first key. And then the second key, I would say defensively, they're just going to have to be on a string. Everybody's going to have to be able to do their job, because they're going to have a tough time guarding man-to-man in the post. And with their lack of size, again, they start basically a five-out lineup. Lat Mayen has been starting at the five at 6'9", 205-pound forward, who is more of a stretch four than a five, but that's kind of how they started with Udraogo's struggles and Derek Walker's suspension. He's one of those guys that sat out last year, and he has to sit for four more games based on an infraction back when he was at Tennessee. And then Eduardo Andre is a freshman, 6'10", 233 listed at, who played his first game last year after having to sit out the first several games with because of COVID protocol. So he played for his first time against Doan, which is an NAIA team, last Thursday. A little bit different playing in the Big Ten.
A little bit.
So they're going to have a tough time kind of manning up in the post. So they're going to have to help each other out there. There's going to have to be some kind of double teams at times. They're going to have to be aggressive in their ball screen defense to not give those guys easy slips to the rim. And if you're going to send doubles, guys have to be ready to rotate. It can't be a simple dump down, kick out, wide open three. So they're going to have a good game plan where everybody is on the same page and you got guys flying around, rotating and contesting these threes, because Wisconsin is definitely a better three-point shooting team than Nebraska. So Nebraska's going to have to
– Last few games. I mean, if we shoot like that, I don't know what you're doing stop it. I don't know anybody in this conference is doing to stop. I don't think we're going to shoot like that, but we'll see.
Yeah, so they're going to have to contest those shots. As simple as that. You're going to have to find a way to limit – post touches and send some help inside when you need to, but also kind of having guys rotate and fly around and contest their shots on the perimeter.
Last thing, I'll leave you with this. Jacob Bedilla of HailVarsity.com, Nebraska beat writer and a Creighton alum. Great, great Creighton team, by the way. I wish we could talk a little more about them, but they're a lot of fun. I watched that whole Kansas game. That was nutty. But back to the Big Ten. What's a successful Big Ten regular season for Nebraska? Like what – Is it in wins? Is it measured in performance of some individuals? Is it measured in, just overall looking better than they did last year?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that I'm still struggling to kind of identify what I think would be. More than two wins. That we'll start there. More than two conference wins. If you clear that mark, that's goal number one, because that's what they had last year. And
that's doable. I do.
Yeah, like I said, I think there are a handful of those teams that Nebraska can beat if things come together. So you got to go out and you have to win some of those games. You can't have all those kind of close games go the wrong way, because then there are going to be some games where they're going to be blown out. That's just the case, like with Illinois and Iowa and Rutgers looking the way they are, and obviously Wisconsin, like there's and Michigan State, like there's some really good teams in this league that Nebraska is going to need them to have an off game, and Nebraska is going to have their best game in order to compete in those games. But I think with those middle of the tier teams, those lower tier teams, Nebraska can compete with those if they can, again, stick together and keep progressing. That's going to be the key, is guys kind of learning their roles, learning how to trust each other, and kind of building towards the future, building towards the second half of the season that I think, considering maybe with Nebraska getting some experience under the belt and some of the teams they'll play, I think the second half is probably a little easier than the first half, especially opening up the conference against Wisconsin. So if they can kind of survive some of these tough games early on without really getting beat down and then kind of keep getting better, I think they'll be able to potentially build towards making some noise in the second half of the league. So I don't think there is a kind of a win total that Hoiberg has set as a goal for this team, it is going to be how do you look? Do you look like you're building towards something? Last year, it wasn't good. You could see that the guys, they had lost confidence. You could see it wasn't going to change. A lot of these guys on this team have a chance to come back next year, and then you add some of the recruits that they've got. You could have a pretty decent team next year if everybody kind of lives up to expectations. So that's what this season is about, is kind of establishing how can we win? What can Nebraska do? How can they play to where they can compete in the Big Ten? So it's going to be a learning experience. They're going to have to kind of survive, kind of fight through some adversity. And if they can do that, they've got a chance to, I think, kind of take the step forward that Hoiberg is hoping to see heading into year three.
Wisconsin, Nebraska tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central at the Kohl Center. Jacob, thank you for hopping on and giving us some insight on the Huskers.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to watching the game.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Go. Make sure you stay tuned for Ben Stevens, Locked On Big Ten, as we go around the Big Ten. We had a lot of fun doing it, talking the Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin's bowl game, Indiana getting snubbed. All that good stuff is coming up in just a sec. But today's episode is brought to you by Built Go, the solution to breaking through that wall. Mental, physical, doesn't matter. These 1.5-ounce packages, these little energy gel packets, let you break through that wall, gives you that five-hour energy hit without that same crash feeling afterwards. It's natural. It's better on your body than those monster energy drinks, those five-hour energy type of drinks, those quick caffeine solutions. It's low caffeine, and it gives you that quick jolt without crashing you right after. The best part, though, is you go to BuiltGo.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, LOCKED, for 20% off your next order with that promo code LOCKED at BuiltGo.com. Joining me on Locked On Badgers, getting some football in after the Nebraska-Wisconsin preview with Jacob Bedilla. Second guest of the Tuesday, I guess Tuesday twofer, because it's Big Ten Ben Stevens joining me on the Locked On Podcast Network and a Locked On Podcast Network legend himself, the Locked On Big Ten host and works now for social media on the college football side for Locked On. Ben, I'm still in your line. It's two for Tuesday. You're the second guest I've had on today.
It seems like you're coming. This is stolen valor. You're coming for my neck because it's two for Thursday on the Locked On Big Ten podcast normally, where you have been a guest on multiple times. But two for Tuesday, I guess, actually has a little better alliteration to it. I once had three for Thursday, which sounds a little better. But hey, as long as everybody on the Locked On Podcast Network is getting involved and bringing on great guests, I know Jacob Padilla. I worked near him when I lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and he does a great job covering Nebraska ball. So great guest that you had on to start off the show.
He did a great job breaking down everything about Nebraska basketball. Let's get into the football side of things. Nebraska played and won this weekend, but we're talking Champions Weekend, if you want to call it Champions Weekend. I don't know what to call it really.
I do.
But all the results from that, and then going into bowl season, we'll talk maybe Duke's Mayo Bowl a little bit, and then hopefully some other ones as well, because Wisconsin fans want to hear how the Big Ten's shaking out. I know you have some feelings on Indiana. If you guys don't know that Ben has feelings in Indiana, you should go to his Twitter and look at a video that has gone absolutely nuts about his feelings in the college football playoff in Indiana. Ben, why don't you take us through the weekend, though? The non-Wisconsin weekend.
The non-Wisconsin. Do you want to start with Friday night, primetime in Piscataway, Rutgers in Nebraska, that got Big Ten Champions Week kicked off?
Let's do it.
It was an ugly game. Nebraska won, despite turning the ball over four times and having nine penalties. That would have been, in past games this season, a complete bye-bye for Nebraska. They wouldn't have been able to come back and win that game. However, it was good for Nebraska, at least in my opinion, to end the year with some sort of positivity, because in the first 2 years of the Scott Frost era in Lincoln, it has all been negative heading into the offseason. And I know, as I've said, working in Omaha, Nebraska, what an offseason with that Nebraska media circus is like if things are not trending in the right direction for your football program. And a win over Rutgers on a Friday night in a glorified exhibition to end the year 3-5 overall is not by any means the highest honor in all of the land. However, it is a positive note and leaves Nebraska fans feeling a little bit better about where that program is going. Scott Frost said after the game, it has been a very difficult year. And at least for this Huskers team, that has been the butt of every joke in the Big Ten Conference, to end with a win that is still better than ending with a loss. And still, that Rutgers side had a great year in Big Ten Conference, played all nine games they were scheduled to play and won three Big Ten battles. That is three that it took them 4 years to win three Big Ten games prior to Greg Schiano's return to Piscataway. So really a good ending of the year for both Nebraska and Rutgers. Shall we get now into the Big Ten title game in Indianapolis on Saturday
morning? Let's talk about it.
It wasn't great for Ohio State, right? The thing that was interesting to me about it for the Buckeyes was the biggest questions that I think a lot of people, including myself, had entering Saturday's title game was that Ohio State secondary and the ground game, because the Buckeyes had not really run the ball all that well so far this season. And against a stout Northwestern front, would they be able to have some success in Indianapolis? They, of course, did. Trey Sermon ran for 331 yards, over 200 yards in that second half. It was unbelievable what they were able to do. And that Ohio State secondary and the defense overall in the second half really locked down, limiting Northwestern, keeping that offense off the field, and that was a great production out of Ohio State on the defensive side of the ball on Saturday against the Wildcats. The biggest question we are all left with, though, because Ohio State only won by 12 and they did not cover that huge 20.5, 19 point spread, whatever it was by the time we got to kick. The biggest question we are left with is everything okay with Justin Fields? Because he went into that game and something just seems off in the way that that offensive scheme is being run right now. They did not trust Justin Fields to win that game for them. They kept the ball on the ground, really out of their star quarterback's right arm, and made Trey Sermon win that game. Something was working, obviously, in the run game, and that's why they stuck with it. But Justin Fields was not the differentiating factor for Ohio State in their win over Northwestern. That is slightly concerning as we get into the college football playoff semifinal against a very good and full health Clemson team that looks to be right up there with Alabama. Are we keeping going? Do you want me to talk about the axe, or have you already discussed the axe?
Yeah, no, we got the whole axe, whole 15-minute axe segment on Monday's episode. But we kept the axe. That's all you have to know. The Ohio State game was kind of like, so when I came on your show and talked to Indiana Ohio State, right, when that game was closer than we all expected, and it was an Ohio State blowout to start. It was kind of the opposite trend. It was a blowout to start, and then it got close. This one was close for a while and then became pretty much over. I mean, most of the fourth quarter, we kind of knew it was over, even though the score may not have indicated it. It was once again, maybe I'm just too blinded to how great Ohio State is. Once again, I'd put almost everything on Ohio State, and I'd struggle to give them the Western credit. I really would. Like the offense, a lot of the mistakes on offense were completely just out of sync mistakes. That one pick on the sideline where I don't know who it was as the receiver, but he Justin Fields thought he was stopping short, and then he just kind of almost broke forward like it was a stop and go, like completely different.
It was one of the young guys. Yeah, I don't know the guy's name necessarily, but it was one of the receivers who was on the younger side who had to fill in for Chris Olave, who missed that game due to what we could presume was COVID, but wasn't available.
And they're going to get him with that 17-day
change. Most likely, right.
Should get him. And Wisconsin, by the way, Wisconsin fans should get Jalen Berger, which is what they said this morning in the press conference with Paul Chris, that rule change that is helping Olave will also help Jalen Berger play against Wake Forest. But it was that kind of mistake that I saw multiple times from Ohio State, completely self-inflicted. That you can't give Northwestern credit on that play. You really can't. That was just completely a miscommunication from the coaching staff, the sideline. We saw some timeouts that shouldn't have been called when they were called, right, because of miscommunications. It was miscommunication all the way around. Quarterback, receiver, from the sideline.
I think it was very evident that this was Ohio State's second game since that game against Indiana on November 21st. They came back, had a week off when they canceled the Illinois game, came back, beat Michigan State, but then, of course, had another idle week in the game in the final week of the regular season. They played two times in pretty much a month span. You are going to be out of sorts. You are going to be out of rhythm. That being said, though, Justin Fields has made some questionable decisions at times when he could have been more careful with the football, including that interception on the sideline, where seeing his receiver not break the way he thought, just get the ball out of there or take, you know, run it to the sideline, lose a yard, but get out of bounds, throw the ball away, do something to preserve the ball. What Justin Fields was so great at last year in 2019 was not turning the ball over. One regular season interception, two against that Clemson defense in the CFP semifinal, and that's how he started off the 2020 Big Ten season. But as we saw in that game against Indiana, when he had three interceptions and forced into some questionable decisions, he has not been as crisp and as clean as we would expect out of Justin Fields, who prior to these last couple of weeks was the shoe-in to be the number two quarterback selected right behind Trevor Lawrence. Now I think that's up for debate.
So, once again, maybe this is because it's Lockdown Badgers. Maybe this is because I'm Asher Lowe. Maybe this is because I'm a Wisconsin graduate. All that good stuff. Maybe it's my entire bias. Maybe I'm wearing these bias glasses, but it's good to have Big Ten Ben on to throw this opinion off of. Bringing this back to Wisconsin, that Big Ten championship game, how do I relate it to Wisconsin? So, immediately, what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about the year before, right? That first half we had against Ohio State, up 21-7 at halftime with Captain Jack Cohn, Gus Johnson, one of his great calls of all time, Captain Jack, a rushing touchdown. Everything was working for Wisconsin in that first half, and then Justin Fields played like the best player in the country in that second half in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. I was there. It was a very weird game all around. At halftime, you kind of felt like there was some – it's almost like somebody committed some crime and nobody wanted to talk about it. Like it was like there was this weird secret we were all sharing and nobody really wanted to say what was happening. And then justice was restored, I guess, or at least the normalcy was restored. I'm just wondering, man.
What an analogy right there, by the way.
Where was that? Thank you. But where was that? Where was that Justin Fields last year? Like, here's my thing, though. That first half against Ohio State last year, like, I'm giving all the credit to Wisconsin. Like watching that game, and I swear I'm not being biased when I say this, that was Wisconsin taking it to Ohio State. That was not Ohio State messing up. That was not Ohio State throwing some ridiculous interception that was completely self-inflicted. That was Wisconsin beating the Buckeyes in every facet of the football game in that first half. If we even had that Justin Fields for a half, Wisconsin wins the game. I mean, I'm just like, it's just so unlucky. Like where was that? Where is this miscommunication, this out of syncness that I've never seen from an Ohio State team playing Wisconsin the last couple of years?
Right. They've only played six games now that we are at the end of this Big Ten football season. They need that experience if they're going to take on the likes of Clemson in the college football playoff semifinal. And I think a lot of the country looking at that game is thinking Ohio State really has no shot. The line right now from our good friends at betonline.ag is at 7.5. Clemson is the favorite. I think that's going to go up and up, and then maybe you get in on the Buckeyes. But regardless, I think that shows where the public perceives Ohio State is at this moment. But if you're a Buckeyes fan, I would say the one kind of restoring factor in this is if you're going to have a question mark and it being Justin Fields, based on his track record, you might be a little bit more comfortable with that, that he will be able to flip the switch and figure things out for the biggest game of the year against Clemson on New Year's Day in the Sugar Bowl. But you're right. I think you could even make the argument for this past Saturday in the Big Ten title game. Northwestern lost that game. Like, Ohio State didn't go out and win it. Northwestern lost it. They had opportunities even heading into that fourth quarter to win the game, to make a few plays and win the game. And Peyton Ramsey had a very costly interception in that second half that seemed like it was going to be the tide that turned, and it didn't. Northwestern's defense buckled up and didn't allow Ohio State to turn that turnover into points. So they just really couldn't figure it out themselves. And if you're Pat Fitzgerald now and you say, okay, we had a great shot to knock off now number three Ohio State in the Big Ten title game without 22 players, and we played a pretty good game on our end, and we still couldn't get it done. What does that say about where your program is in terms of competing with the best in the Big Ten East? That's a little bit of a humble pill to swallow. Ohio State, though, that is what they do. I mean, they still find a way to win. Even not at their best, they still find a way to win, and that is why they're at the college football playoff, the 6-0 record that has been deemed good enough by the committee to make the college football playoff semifinal. We'll see if Ryan Day and company in this 10-day span until we get to New Year's Day can turn things around and figure it out in Columbus as they get ready to take on Clemson.
So you already mentioned Ohio State. Clemson talked about that. I didn't talk about it much. I haven't previewed it yet, but I did mention it on Monday's episode. Wisconsin and Wake Forest in everybody's favorite bowl, the Duke's Mayonnaise. The Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl. The Duke's Mayo Bowl. Other Big Ten teams, what are you watching bowl season for other Big Ten teams?
You know where my focus goes. I want to see Indiana go to town against Ole Miss in the Outback Bowl because,
I don't know.
First off, I think it's a very compelling matchup. You have Lane Kiffin. What?
I'm hearing something. Is it the Lane train coming in?
The Lane train. Choo-choo. But, I mean, it's going to be a very compelling matchup. The Rebels have the fifth most explosive offense in the country. They gain like something like 540 yards per game on that offensive side of the ball against a very good Indiana defense that has led the way for this Hoosiers team all year long. And now the Hoosiers defense, a little bit up in the air, is Kane Womack, their former defensive coordinator, now the head coach at South Alabama. Will that have any effect? I hope Indiana, though, goes out to make a statement. You heard Tom Allen say in his press conference yesterday, or on Sunday rather, when he was asked about how do you feel, is this a slight by the College Football Playoff Committee? He said there's a time and place for that. And then he got a little bit angrier throughout the press conference as people keep asking him about it. However, he said there's a time and place for that. I believe in what we're doing right now. Unfinished business. Let's go take care of it. I think they do that against Ole Miss, and I look forward to that. I hope that Indiana wins by 3-4 touchdowns and puts to bed this narrative that Indiana really isn't that good of a football team this year. They just took advantage of an off year in the Big Ten.
Ole Miss is explosive, but I will say that the SEC always likes to say that it means more. But offensive stats in the SEC probably mean less than in the Big Ten by far because those defenses are bad, are very bad. I'm obviously Wisconsin Wake Forest. I'm not Wisconsin fans aren't exactly buzzing, right? Like it's not the Rose Bowl. It's the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and Wake Forest is a 4-4 team out of the ACC. But reps matter. The way you finish a season matters. Momentum matters. And like you said with Nebraska, it's basically the same way I framed this game for Wisconsin in my just short little segment yesterday. But just saying that, a rep matters, but also ending the season with a win. It matters. Even if it's not the year you wanted, that kind of stuff carries over. It matters. Indiana Ole Miss, I'll be watching that. And if you haven't watched Big Ten Ben's viral rant, you should go watch that. You want to give us a taste of that to close it out?
Here's my taste. The point I'm saying is this. Indiana has got no respect this entire season. All the credit that they deserve for winning games and being a 6-1 Big Ten football team has gone to the other side. It has been a discredit of the other side. Even in that Wisconsin game when IU came out with their backup quarterback and Jack Tuttle and thoroughly dominated a Wisconsin team in that, at the time, top 20 matchup. That wasn't about Indiana playing a great game and making Wisconsin look bad and slowing down that offense for the Badgers. It was the fact that Wisconsin isn't very good this year. Indiana snapping historical losing streaks to Penn State and Michigan. Snapping those historical losing streaks wasn't about Indiana doing anything correct. It was about Penn State and Michigan being so, so bad this year. By the way, Penn State ended the year on a four-game winning streak, and we're talking on the national level about how Oklahoma was so able to turn things around in the almighty Big 12. Let's give them kudos. Give that same to Penn State. Even in that Ohio State game, Indiana's sole loss this year, they were down 28-7 at the half, 35-7 midway through that third quarter, and they outscored the Buckeyes 28-14 in the second half to make that a one-score game. But that wasn't about the adjustments and the fight of an Indiana football team. It was about Ohio State's secondary being an absolute sham and not being nearly as what we expect Ohio State to be on a national level. Indiana has received no credit while the other side has been taking the credit away from. It takes a team to go out there and to make the other side look bad. Indiana accomplished that this year on their way to six wins in the Big Ten Conference. That is my rant about Indiana in short.
And that is, let's just call it around the Big Ten with Big Ten Ben. The weekend that was, the week that's coming. Maybe I'll try to do this weekly now, I guess. Around the Big Ten, quick little segment for Big Ten Ben, but if he's not available, then, you know, I'll do it myself, I guess. I don't know. Locked On Big Ten host, the new social media guy, a guy that goes viral every week now. I feel like it's been like five straight weeks you've gone absolutely viral on Twitter. And just an awesome guy all around. Ben Stevens, thank you for hopping on.
Asher Lowe, thank you for having me. I will also anoint if I'm unable to make it for the Big Ten Roundup, the Big Ten Roundtable, whatever you're calling it.
I will allow for a weekly spot now, yeah.
I know you did, really. Cut me a check, first off. I will allow your good friend and writer at Badgers Wire, Ben Kenny, to be anointed Big Ten Ben just for this one segment, if that works.
I like it. I like it, the namesake.
As always, On Wisconsin, thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we'll be back to talk Wisconsin-Nebraska, how it all went, and the week ahead for Wisconsin football.